to the Divided Kingdom, the evening news program that many of you have come to know and trust. This is Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly, and tonight I have with me our extra co-host. Lou will not be here on this program, but Dr. Carl Sanders, our pastor of the program, is with us. Welcome, Carl.
Well, God bless you. It's good to be here. I'm excited about the Divided Kingdom and you folks and what we can maybe be able to share with the people tonight.
Wonderful, because, you know, we read to some extent, in fact, we did read it in its entirety, your rough draft of your newsletter and the warnings to the people that the watchmen are telling us things are coming, but the false prophets say peace and safety. So there is a lot going on everywhere. True News had an interview with William Federer, that great historian, and he was talking about something that is at WorldNet Daily, an article that tells of another vision. We've all heard about George Washington's visions. When Anthony Sherman, I believe he was 99 years old, late in life, to put it mildly, had an interview and told what had happened when he was an aide-de-camp, I guess, to George Washington. And George Washington allegedly had visits from an angel while he was at deep, deep prayer during those dark days of the Revolution. And the angel showed him three conflicts that would come to America. The first, of course, was the Revolutionary War. The second was the Civil War. And the last conflict of all had a red cloud coming from Europe and from Africa. And some people might think that's sort of a communism or a Marxism or something coming to America, and that it would be the most perilous time of all. Now, the newest one from Daniel Webster apparently talks about, it's almost like an insight of the times we're in, Carl, in which he said that the Republic was so unique because in 6,000 years we've never had anything like this on Earth, this type of government by the people and the extent of the freedom, the religious freedom, the other personal freedom. And he, of course, said that if we lost our moral condition and we fell away from God's laws, then this whole thing would collapse. And we see now, very disappointingly, I want to start with a headline hereafter. I just bring us back to what was going on December 22nd, 2014, in the AP. The headline there was Tent City Sprouts in Shadow of Downtown Detroit. Now, we just think to ourselves, Carl, you and I were alive in the 50s. Could we have ever imagined this opening paragraph? Bankruptcy behind it. Detroit's atmosphere swirls with the promise of better days. Charles Floyd Jones can only hope that the city's good fortune trickles down to him and the 10 other residents of a tent city that sprouted in the shadow of a resurgent downtown where rental occupancy is close to full and restaurants and shops are doing brisk business. Jones and others in this makeshift community of seven tents, believed to be the only tent city in Detroit, say they have nowhere else to go. By us being out of bankruptcy, they can see that you've got people out here that's struggling, said Jones, 51. The city's homeless numbers swelled over the past decade as manufacturing and other jobs disappeared and homes were lost during the national foreclosure crisis. All told, about 16,200 of Detroit's 680,000 residents, almost 2.4%, are believed to be living on the streets or in temporary shelters, and that doesn't account for other types of homelessness, such as teens going from friend to friend and families living in motels. Now, this doesn't seem very good in our country, does it, Carl?
You know, especially to remember Detroit. I was there with General Electric many years ago in the 60s when Detroit was thriving, and to look at what's happening in Detroit right now. But to look across our nation and see that there are many other places like this. If you go to the Appalachians or you go to many of the big cities, you've got a lot of people living on the street. I spent 3 years in New York and did a lot of street witnessing, and it was amazing to me how many were living on the street, living in cardboard boxes. And they would come into our meetings, they'd fold up their cardboard box and come in, and they'd keep it with them because everything could be stolen. And so, this nation, the exceptionalism that it made this nation was made because, first of all, the moral conduct and the direction and the place we were heading. And yes, we were one nation under God. The Bible was very clear, and the Pledge of Allegiance and the one nation under God. We aren't one nation anymore. We're divided. There are states now that are trying to secede from the Union. There are states. We've got many states with the same-sex marriage thing and all of this, but there's many divisions in this nation right now. And those
That's
divisions,
for sure.
They've been fostered from the top.
Yes, and as you have pointed out to us on previous programs, this all goes first to the spiritual condition of us not obeying God's laws. And here we see the update right here of this lack of moral fiber. Monday, January 26th, we had some writing by David Harsanyi, and he is the senior editor at The Federalist. And he says, GOP surrenders to infanticide. Evidently, Republicans don't feel competent enough to make a case against infanticide. Why else would the GOP pull its 20-week abortion limit bill? A Quinnipiac poll found that 60% of women support limiting abortions to the first 20 weeks of pregnancy. A CBS News poll found that 60% of Americans think abortion, quote, should not be permitted, end of quote, or available only under, quote, stricter limits, end of quote. A CNN poll found that 58% of Americans believe abortion should be legal only in a, quote, few circumstances or, quote, always illegal. Yet the GOP caves on a bill that would prohibit most abortions after 20 weeks and promises instead to pass another worthless ban on taxpayer-funded abortions, which we all know can be ignored by hiring an accountant. And before the GOP pulled the bill, David Harsanyi says, the Washington Post's Dana Milbank had argued that Republicans were needlessly reviving the culture war, pulling a bait and switch on the electorate because abortion is not a high priority for voters, and it was, quote, rarely campaigned on as an issue during the midterms. Now, I can't find a corresponding piece from Milbank griping about the left's obsession with climate change, an issue that is also consistently one of the lowest priorities among voters, but I'm sure it exists somewhere. What's truly absurd, though, is the idea that the GOP alone is responsible for any, quote, revival of the culture wars. The culture war never ended. Some of you probably remember the Democrats' gynecocentric 2014 campaign to paint every GOP candidate as a misogynist. And if you don't know what that word means, it means a woman hater. A big part of that attack was focused on abortion. It stopped working. So someone needs to inform House Republicans of this. And Harsanyi says, because the most mystifying aspect of the GOP's retreat on the 20-week ban is that the 20-week ban is not new. Most of these same Republicans voted on the same legislation before the midterm elections, including some of the same representatives who reportedly withdrew their support for the bill. Nearly every GOP candidate running in the midterms publicly backed the idea, even in high-profile races in which Democrats made abortion the central issue of their campaign. Now, I'd like to interrupt his article for a minute and ask you about religious hypocrisy. Are these not men who are hypocrites if they voted, on behalf of pro-life at one point when it was advantageous to them in their election time?
You know, I've got an answer for this, and it really bothers me that what was the grand old party at one time that had standards and stayed with them. But let's look at some facts. Fact number one, a heartbeat can be detected at 18 to 25 days from conception. Fact number two, brainwaves can be recorded at 40 days. Fact three, at 11 to 12 weeks, all body systems are complete. This is 12 weeks. Fact, at 12 weeks, the baby is nearly 1 ounce and about 3 inches long. Fact, at 18 to 25 days, this baby is pumping its own blood, not the mother's blood. It is a separate human being. Now, let's go over to what denotes murder. And when we look at infants as being the fastest growing group of murder victims in the U.S., unbelievable. Right now, close to 60 million babies have been aborted. You realize how many Einsteins, how many generations of great athletes have been aborted and left in a bucket someplace? No, I don't have any use for a Republican platform that would turn around and do that. And so they better get a hold of what is right. John Adams said, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion." So if we lose morality and we lose religion, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. That's John Adams. So my comments to the GOP is that you better straighten up. You better realize what the people want. 60% of the people want the abortion stopped. So who are you going to get elected by? So I have a real problem. But even churches today, sis, are going soft on abortion. Churches are going soft on same-sex marriage. Churches are going soft on what the Bible says is a sin, and they're going ahead with it. And I don't know how you can justify man with man and woman with woman.
No, and we'll get to that just a little bit later, too. Yeah. And back to David Harsanyi's article, and thank you, Carl, for those very sobering statistics about when the child is a child from the very beginning. Now, Harsanyi says, "Yet at the same time, Obama continues to support unrestricted abortion on demand for any reason at any time by anyone. There is no one to moderate his position, no one to make him veto a bill, no one to ask him about it. The president has no compunctions about supporting infanticide, which by any moral or scientific standard is what we're talking about. It often seems as if the only time the Obama administration opposes governments coming between a woman and her doctor is when the latter is extracting a dead human being from the former. Though, to be fair, occasionally those humans are terminated after extraction. More than 18,000 viable or nearly viable babies do not have a chance to confer with a physician about the excruciating pain they may be experiencing. The House has better things to do than confront that situation." Now, how about that? That's very powerful. Aren't there babies who are born and then murdered during abortion?
You know, the Bible talks about burning babies by placing them on red-hot idols as a sacrifice to Moloch in 2 Kings 17:7.
Yes.
You know what that acid is used that they have in the buckets that they throw those babies into? That acid just finishes the job and eats them up. And the Bible is so clear. And you talk about provoking the Lord to anger. They sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He desires to forgive those will turn away from sin, but he's not going to forgive you if you don't turn away from sin. So the murder rate of these babies is just
And, you know, we are in a culture war because we get information on the Justice Rider, some of those young people who volunteer to go out and put up the large jumbo screens and other materials, teaching the college students what the reality is of choice, so-called choice. And those people are doing a lot for the Lord. There are other people. You know, before I came to this microphone, I was looking at a letter from a small ministry, a mission in Virginia, and one of Lou's former friends and teaching colleagues goes there every year to Nigeria. And we supported her a little bit this last year. So they were giving us the tax information on our donation. But I thought about it again. Here is a sincere Christian person we know who sacrifices to go to do missionary work. So when we hear on Patriot Radio, largely, that the country is gone, there's no good, we're not a Christian nation, and yet some of those people are going to have abortion bombers on their programs and so forth and so on, we have to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. We have to really be choosy about what we listen to and what we know, because the fact is there is still a controversy going on. This proves it with these statistics here that David Harsanyi has in this Quinnipiac poll, and that's spelled Quinnipiac, finding that 60% of the women support limiting abortions. And the CBS poll found that 60% of Americans think that abortion should not be permitted or available only under stricter limits. The CNN poll, let's get that one again. 58% of Americans believe abortion should be legal only in a few circumstances or always illegal. If we're truthful with ourselves, we have to realize that this is barbarism and it is murder of our young. You know, I love Christmas, and I know that you do too. And we realize that there are a lot of pagan customs. Of course there are. But if we throw out the baby Jesus with the bathwater, what do we have left? Those wonderful Christmas carols, the sacred ones honoring his birth. The world would be farther into darkness if all we had was the atheism and all of that. But I do say this, that when I became a watchman, I asked the Lord one time about Christmas, hearing all of these things. And I would have to say that one of the key books on that, Fossilized Customs, if you read that very carefully, that man was said to be a Messianic Jew, but he advocates quitting calling yourself a Christian and taking away the cross. So you really have to be careful, which is more harmful, knowing that some of these customs are there in the background but not really active, or getting rid of the cross. Just as Lewis pointed out to me, it's a thin line between really walking God's narrow line and fanaticism. You know, Lou pointed out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, a lot of those are Norse god names, Woden and so forth. We don't say, oh, I'm not going to drive to work today because it's Wednesday. That's a day that is a Norse god. Oh, Thursday, I couldn't possibly go down and do any work at my job or go to church. No, it's ridiculous. But I also know that God doesn't want us to be involved in something truly evil and something sacrilegious. So when I asked him about Christmas, I said, do you have anything to teach me? Now, this was a personal request I made of the Lord, and I opened my Bible, and right there I am in Jeremiah. Be not like the heathen. Do not go out, you see, and get that tree and deck it with the gold balls. Now, I realize why I was not to do that tree, because the background of that tree is exactly what you were telling us about, Carl. Up there in those groves with those trees, passing their children into the fires of Moloch. That's what God hates. And God is not going to judge a little American family who shows love for him and for each other and has a Christmas tree and decorating it. They don't know what I know as a watchman, because God refined my knowledge. It's important that I keep my life as free of sin as I am able to, because I'm in a position of responsibility. He will tell the other people what he wants them to know if they seek him. If he wants that family to have the Christmas tree and has a spirit of love for each other and for Jesus, that may be acceptable to him. I don't know, because I'm not God. But I do know that it's very, very important that we keep talking about this subject, about those babies being murdered, because God's full judgment, I believe, is not going to come down on us yet at this time. But it's getting worse. It's getting closer and closer all the time. And the evil things are surrounding us. And, you know, really, I guess where I want to go next is this idea that we have a big problem because the judgment appears to be coming on us closer through our leaders. It's as though God's hand of protection began to be taken away at the time of 9/11, and it was. But the evil ones who are part of a satanic conspiracy for generations, they've wanted to destroy America. And listening to William Federer talk with Rick Wiles on True News, I believe if I heard my shortwave set correctly, it went a little bit floozy at one moment, but I believe they were speaking of Abby Lipkin talking about either his wife, perhaps his wife, someone connected with him, had heard the chatter at least 10 years ago that the name Obama was being prepared. Obama was being prepared. So there are people who are questioning, more and more and more people are questioning the jihadi leanings. And we can't corroborate everything, but, you know, we do want to bring the cutting-edge stuff to you. Carl and I talked about the possibility from an article that the Ebola was given to the people in Africa through the Red Cross vaccines. And Carl mentioned how a lot of things were not always the way they should have been back in the wars, the other wars. Now, we do know that Anita Dittman, of course, individuals are going to rise to the occasion and they have integrity. Anita Dittman told about her mother at Theresienstadt. They were just about ready to build the crematoria and get it running, everything going. And a Red Cross representative found out, and he bravely drove through the Russian lines to warn the world, and that got stopped. So they're always going to be good people. Now, we know that Pat Boone, of course, he has been a pop artist from the time I was young and when you were young, Carl. So we don't often think of him in any way except sort of a milder Elvis type. But this I never knew, and I'm going to bring this article here to you, Carl, and then get your take. Today's Benedict Arnold, a traitor in a White House if the shoe fits, exclusive. Pat Boone offers hypothetical scenario of treason in nation's highest office. This was January 9th. Pat Boone, descendant of the legendary pioneer Daniel Boone. That's what I never knew, Carl. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Has been a top-selling recording artist, and they say what all he's done through the rock and roll era of the 1950s. He sold more records than any artist except Elvis Presley. Quote, and this is from Marcus Tullus Cicero, 1st century B.C., and so this will be from Pat Boone then after the quote. The traitor rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of this city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. The traitor is the plague. And that was in the 1st century B.C., Marcus Tullius Cicero. What is treason? Good old Webster's Dictionary describes it simply as betrayal of one's country to an enemy. And traitor as one who betrays one's country, cause, friends, etc. I've recently read a biography of Benedict Arnold, American history's most notorious traitor. Though he was a beneficiary of our young country's opportunities and honors, rising through the military to the rank of major general, historians record he was arrogant and impatient with civilian deliberateness and legislative oversight. He courted the favor of British loyalists, angering the Patriots, and exhibited such a love and need for money that he lined his pockets with questionable side ventures. He decided he wasn't sufficiently appreciated by his fellows and formulated a treasonous plan to crush the revolution and revenge himself in Congress. When, amazingly, he was given the command of West Point, he plotted with British General Clinton to surrender the fort for £20,000. The plot was discovered, and Arnold barely managed to escape to England, where he lived out his life as a social outcast and infamous traitor. Is it remotely possible such a terrible thing could happen in America today? What would one of our leaders have to do to be accused of treason? Well, let's create a purely hypothetical scenario. Suppose America elects a charismatic young president who makes all kinds of brave promises and sweeps into the White House. This young man not only has little political or governmental experience, but none at all in business or administration. Curiously, his upbringing is never closely examined or evaluated. It's just assumed that anybody elected president must love America, but this young man had been trained by parents and others to consider this country a colonial oppressor and unfit to be a world leader. In college, by his own autobiographical account, he sought out Marxist professors in not one but three colleges. Once elected, he uses his newfound executive authority to seal off all his early school, passport, and travel records, lest his true intents be uncovered. He eventually has a fake copy of a birth certificate created and exhibited on the White House website, complete with glaring errors that betray its falsehood. Somehow Congress seems mesmerized and intimidated from confronting him, so he creates a phalanx of legislative czars to regulate and virtually stifle all business and energy progress. And these czars, among them known Muslim and Marxist and homosexual activists, report not to Congress, but directly to him. Having declared that he considered the U.S. Constitution a flawed document, he proceeds as president to ride roughshod over the document and its establishment as three separate and equal branches of our government, declaring openly if Congress won't give him what he wants, he has a phone and a pen and will make executive decisions and even change laws he has crammed through the legislature, determined to effectively dismantle the two-party system and the separation of powers concept. Now, theoretically, many might call this treason, but wait. Suppose, and this is Pat Boone's writing, suppose that this increasingly arrogant young man, having become commander-in-chief of the military, begins to quietly fire and replace full admirals and generals who object to his decisions to withdraw from territories gained by the lives of 4,000 brave young Americans and to issue more orders that will weaken the whole defense system and cost more young American lives. Treason? Wait. Suppose this pompous man also appoints an attorney general who announces with him that they not only will enable hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens to invade the country, but that they will not enforce the immigration laws themselves. This, knowing that among those undocumented aliens there would certainly be trained enemies of the United States whose sole purpose for crossing our borders is to destroy the country he had learned to despise as a young man. And I would have to interject here, Carl, that hearing Bill Federer on True News with Rick Wiles, he said that it now the statistics are there that they have been teaching the Syrians and others to speak Spanish, and that we are really having more Syrians and people from Pakistan coming than any other Mexicans coming across the border. Now back to Pat Boone, and what if this attorney general concocts a scheme to furnish thousands of weapons to Mexican drug cartels and potential terrorists? Treason? The case is building. Now suppose that this Manchurian or Indonesian candidate, never having any business or economic experience, but knowing that one vital reason for America's world dominance is its giant economy, forces through a weak and compliant Congress decisions that add trillions of dollars of unpayable, inexcusable debt, piling up three times more debt on American taxpayers and businesses than all past presidents combined. In this unthinkable scenario, he is systematically crippling, bankrupting, and discrediting his country. And in all of this, He's following the plan he had learned from a famous Communist Party organizer. Now, in this imagined story, we can add the deliberate dividing of the citizens along racial, economic, and political lines. We can add his awarding billions of dollars of speculative contracts to party donors and even family friends. We can toss in his leaving his command post while a U.S. ambassador and other Americans are under fire and eventually dying, to pack his bags and fly to Las Vegas for a political fundraiser. A definite Benedict Arnold comparison. And to leave no doubt whatsoever, while our nation is slipping into all-out war against inhuman killers who behead innocent people, this pretender-in-chief makes the personal decision to release known murderers from a military prison and to send them back to the Mideast, all expenses paid and with no penalty for their crimes, to supposedly rehab and then certainly reassume leadership positions with our murderous enemies. No consultation with or consent from Congress, just his own decision, knowing brave young Americans will face these beasts again in a battle to the death. If there's a clearer definition of treason, I can't think of it. All of this is theoretical, of course, but I think if such an interloper and subversive imposter were to somehow arise and become our president, if he weren't eventually exposed, prosecuted, and impeached, America should apologize to Benedict Arnold. And his picture should be posted in Webster's alongside the words treason and traitor. Do you think that he was worthy of his ancestor, Daniel Boone, Carl?
I don't believe so. I think that
do you think Pat Boone was worthy of his ancestor in what he wrote here?
I really believe that that is. I need to get a hold of that article because that's a good one.
I believe it came from. I'm trying to see. It has a headline at the top, "Today's Benedict Arnold." So yeah. I'm not really sure, but we'll have to look there. It might be at his website too.
Well, I'm proud of Pat Boone for that.
Yes, I am too. And, you know, so much is just moving so fast. And in that, we have so much more to get to. But I think I'll just quickly go over this. Denver schoolgirls are forced to wear headscarves. Ankles must be covered on school trip to Denver Mosque. But maybe not too quickly. We do need to note that Obama is only a puppet and that back maybe a decade ago, I remember of hearing guests that Dr. Stan Monteith had on talking about how they were trying to radicalize the Muslims in their countries by putting things in their school books, turning them into the Wahhabi, more aggressive, bombing type of jihadi. So that these things have been planned for a long time, and we've heard Rick Wiles say that his worst fear has always been that once all these mosques are in running order and everything is built up, someday there will be the signal given, and then they will all go loose here in America and kill Americans. Well, Bill Federer, without probably knowing that Rick Wiles has this concept, was basically saying the same thing. That once this is all built up, there will come a time when a signal is given. And the elite may think that they have all this under control, but, you know, they have children, too. I was actually thinking of H.W. Bush's granddaughter, Jenna Bush Hager. What a charming person she appears to be. She writes in a woman's magazine a column sometimes on fashion and on other different things, and she has a little baby, and she seems to be very genuine. Now, I think that the elite who are involved with any of these machinations, thinking that we will have this war between Christianity and the Muslim world and we'll fight to the finish and then the New World Order will arise out of the ashes, I think any of the elite who are up there at the top, they'd better fear for their families. They'd better fear not other people, not you and I, not even other military people. They'd need to fear God, because if we do turn back in repentance and more people turn against abortion, most Americans are good people. They're Christian in their orientation, and they have a good heart. And, you know, God will protect us. You know, there has to be a mark put on each of us by the Lord, not Satan's mark, but this mark of the remnant. And we ask all of you out there to pray strongly for our program. We ask you to pray for Carl's health, for my health, for our provision. We do need help from any of you who can help us. Now, very quickly, let me get into the schoolgirls here, and we'll get your take, Carl. But I think all of this is part of an agenda, all combined with the events at Ferguson. There are more of those planned, all of that. And I believe Bill Federer spoke to that, because this was really encouraging, Carl, before we get into this Denver mosque situation. He said that a number of Christian leaders, including Tony Evans, some others have gone out to Ferguson, and they're working on reconciliation, because the idea is that if we would be united as Christians under God's doctrine, then we will not have the incursion so much of the Muslims coming. He pointed out that all of the churches in Revelation that were spoken about were once, they were Christian, because the apostles went there and the people accepted Christianity, but when the Muslim incursions came through, all of that is gone. So Egypt was once a Christian country. Now, we can see the handwriting here, what's going to happen here. All right, schoolgirls at a Douglas County public school in Colorado are being forced to cover up from head to toe to visit a mosque on a school-mandated Common Core trip. There are no requirements to visit a Greek Orthodox cathedral or synagogue. Here again, we see that anywhere American law and Islamic law conflict, it is American law that has to give way. Young schoolgirls should not be forced to respect a dress code that represents honor violence, female genital mutilation, forced marriage, child marriage, etc. And this is, I believe, written by Pamela Geller. This was posted on January the 7th. And she also says, the World Religions Field Trip is next Tuesday, January 13th. We will be visiting the Denver Mosque, the Assumption Greek Orthodox Cathedral, and the Rodef Shalom Synagogue. We will then eat lunch at Park Meadows Food Court. Students must either bring a sack lunch or money to purchase lunch at the food court. There is a dress code for this trip. All students must wear appropriate long pants. Ankles must be covered. Girls must bring wide scarves or hooded sweatshirts for the mosque. Now, interestingly, we didn't hear that they had to wear the skull cap to go to the synagogue, did we?
No. No, we didn't.
Okay, what's really happening here? Don't you think there's an agenda here?
There is an agenda that's been going on for a long time, and this agenda has been this tolerance thing, and you know, completely contrary to what God tells us about what Christians ought to be doing, is being separate from the world, being to separate yourself unto God, and so to crucify yourself, in fact, and unto God. So here is a thing that's completely opposite. Now, we have gone so far on the tolerance thing, we're tolerating. The only, you know, Muslims are if they read the Quran, says that you get rid of infidels, Christians, Jews. It's very much, you get rid of them. In fact, you get rewards for killing them. Now, that's not just radical Muslims. That's all Muslims have that in their Quran. So why would we want to become, or why would we want to tolerate that? Shouldn't we be focusing on leading those people to Christ, leading them to the only, there is only one way, I don't care what the homosexuals say about other ways, there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. So we've got tolerant and we spread this out, and all of a sudden we're just fitting in with anything. If you look at in Revelation, it talks about the harlot and her daughters. Now the daughter is separated from the harlot, and you find many of the churches that came off of the Roman Catholic Church now are coming back to the Roman Catholic Church. The daughter's returning back to that harlot that it talks about in Revelation. Now, I've preached in a lot of Catholic churches. I love the Catholic. But I also know that many of the things that they believe in, and the fact of trusting your prayers to Mary, the fact of going that direction, are wrong. So why would we, if we separated from the Catholic Church, why should we come back to that and then the Muslims and tolerance and the clothing we wear and this type of thing? I'm amazed. And if you look at our Congress, if you look at the House of Representatives and the Senate, you would be surprised what they believe, what they actually believe. Yet at one time, sis, the largest Christian church in the United States was held in the Capitol building. People came to church there. Everybody came, everybody that could, in the very founding of this nation, went to church there. It wasn't
It seems almost unbelievable now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't a Muslim church. It wasn't a Catholic church. It wasn't this, that, and the other. It was a congregational church that their only focus was on that Bible and Jesus Christ. So
this program, when we reach out on shortwave and on the Internet, I always make it clear, too, that Lou and I have many Roman Catholic friends, and I've talked to some of them, and I believe that some of them are saved. Some of them have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I ask one, I said, do you worship Mary? And he said, no. And he said, but I honor her a lot. She has to be special to be Jesus' mother. So I think that as a Protestant, I cannot accept the heresy of making Mary a co-redemptrix or worshiping Mary or praying to Mary. No, the Bible says that we have direct access to Jesus. He is our only advocate. But on the other hand, I think that God may be drawing a remnant of people who are truly Christian from the Catholic Church, from the Protestant churches, because there's so much heresy now. We were watching the DVD of Pastor Joe Schimmel about the submerging church, and it really is horrendous when we see what people like Rick Warren and Rob Bell, what they're all doing. And now, here's another shock. In Gary Kaw's newsletter, what do you think about this? If this is accurate, that Wheaton College now is setting up a group for students to explore their sexuality.
I heard about that. And you know, Gary Kaw is a great guy. I think a lot of him, and I'm glad that that he is still on the fighting line, still
yes,
on the front
too.
Line, and still out there.
Well, what do you think about that? Isn't Wheaton College supposedly a Christian college?
Yeah,
Should it be accepting? In other words, it's making room for people to question whether they can be lesbian, gay, you know, et cetera.
Yeah, they're talking about children. And by the way, that Common Core curriculum really leans that direction in some of it. And I don't really trust Common Core. I think.
Oh no, no, it's even being thrown out some, even in a secular way now. But it really is that. We didn't get to our other topic, and I hope that next Tuesday we can get into the surveillance aspect. Could you come back with us next Tuesday?
I would be glad to. There's one thing that I wanted to mention. In this last century, out of 11, I talk about cause and effect, but out of 11 major earthquakes, five of these have kind of bunched together. But the cause and effect here, we see 2 days after a large abortion rights march in San Francisco, we had the first largest earthquake ever. And the front page of San Francisco Chronicle said had an article that titled "A Huge Spirit of Abortion Rights Rally in San Francisco," and but also on the Patriot News had an article titled "Quake Kills 47 in California," and then another article, "The Height of the Attack Against Operation Rescue in Buffalo, New York." We had the sixth greatest earthquake. The front page of the New York Times had an article titled "11 Dead in Los Angeles Rioting and 4,000 Guard Troops Called Out as Fires and Looting Continue." Then another one, "Gay Pride Day Followed by a Supreme Court Decision Not to Overturn Roe vs. Wade." We had the fourth largest earthquake. The front page of the Los Angeles Times had articles titled "Two strong quakes jolt wide area and 200,000 attended a gay parade." And then this is the last one. "Day after Sanctity of Life Sunday and 5 days before the 21st anniversary of Roe vs. Wade, we had the seventh greatest earthquake." The front page of the Los Angeles Times had an article titled "33 Die, Many Hurt in a 6.6 Quake." The epicenter of that quake was Northridge, California, where 80% of all the video pornography was made. The Associated Press had an article titled "Quake Affects Porn Industry." This earthquake was the most powerful earthquake in the world. An aftershock of this quake was the ninth greatest earthquake. 10 of the most severe earthquakes were located in California. Now, I read all those for a reason. There
Impressive.
Is a cause and an effect. If we don't realize these warnings, what have we got going on right now, sister? We got the worst storm that's ever hit New York, New Jersey, all that area. It is the worst storm that has ever hit. This is the worst. Why? What's going on? What was it that would have caused this? And so I think that, you know, when we start looking at the judgment of God and the cause and effect of what we're doing, how much more decadence do we have before he says enough is enough? I don't know when that'll come. As long as there's people like you and your husband and that are out here trumpeting the call and sounding the warnings, then it may be what's holding it back. But it's like the little boy with his finger in the dike. When he took the finger out, that whole thing came down.
Yes, and you know, I was looking for a passage that I had seen today, and I don't know where it was, but now you've reminded me what it really said. It was advising us to cry out. The ones who were crying out, those were the ones that were going to be marked, and they would not be harmed. Now, I think that also refers to the people who are listening to us, who are praying fervently for repentance in America. That's, I think, the purpose of this program, the prayers. And, of course, in your own lives, God will show you things that you can do when you can witness to people, because the New World Order should not be the focus of your life. No, your life should be your personal witness to Jesus Christ. So I think that's so important. And, of course, we may be going into a little ice age, and there will be many more winters that are more severe. But I don't think that accounts for everything. The list that you read was very important, Carl. And I think, is it John McTiernan has done a study on this?
John is a great friend of mine, a great ex-cop. He's retired, of course. But he wrote God's final warning. He is a tremendous guy. If we could ever get him on the program with us, that would be wonderful.
That'd be wonderful. Maybe you'll look into that.
He's a good friend, and I've stayed in his home. I've eaten in his house. I've been with John, and he is truly a wonderful guy. And I've done meetings with him, and I just appreciate him so much.
And that's his thesis, that a lot of this relates to judgment. And I wonder if you would tell us again what happened when the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America was meeting to legalize the clergy being homosexual. Could you tell us about that?
Oh, about the tornado that went down the street and turned and took the whole front off the building and the people. And yeah, I think there are many warnings that God gives us, and I think that we need to look at those and realize step by step he's showing us. And I think we're going to see a great financial collapse here very soon. I believe that our government is in on it, and I think we're going to see a great financial collapse. There's too many things as we go back and look. You talked about 9/11 being a warning. I think a warning more than anybody would realize. And you look at Isaiah and the parallels and all the things that happened with 9/11. But you look at how soon we forget 9/11 and how soon we begin to turn people loose. We're looking at this thing with Guantanamo Bay. I can't understand how you can turn these people loose without Congress doing something about it.
Yes, and as you said, the plan is continuing because the protection is removed from us. And we talked about the deadly subway incident in Washington, D.C. It left so many questions, and the people there were told to remain on board. There was a lot there going on that reminded us of September 11th, the things that happened. And there was one guy who worked for public radio, NPR, Lewis Clemens. He decided he wasn't going to follow this. He waited about 20 or 30 minutes, and he said, "We were not given any information that police or fire were en route or nearby. All we got was stay in place. Yes, I know there's smoke. Don't leave." So there's something going on that isn't good. And then here's another headline. Millions of GMO insects could be released in Florida Keys. This was AP January 26. Millions of these genetically modified mosquitoes could be released if British researchers who win approval to use these bugs. And supposedly, just in a nutshell here, they're going to have modified DNA so that they can lick two diseases. And these diseases would be dengue fever and chikungunya. I have a little trouble with that one. And the people are a little bit frightened at the thought that we might be bitten by a genetically modified organism. So 130,000 people signed a change.org petition against this. Doesn't sound good, does it?
Well, you know, our food is genetically modified. The nutrition has gone out of it. What we're eating is practically nothing in our corn and wheat and this type of thing. The thing that people don't realize is that out of Fort Detrick, Maryland, came a lot of things, and one of them was Ebola and the Ebola virus, and you know, they don't deny that. There's a patent on it. You can look it up. They did that. But LSD came out of there. Many of the drugs that were used, I was a member of the Phoenix Project, and we were trying to work with 38,000 Vietnam veterans and trying to do something with their rages and this type of thing, and they were experimented on, and people are still being experimented on. And did you see in the news the last two or three days, they're talking about this thing of evaluating elderly people to decide whether they ought to send them home or whether they ought to try to treat them? And they're going to make that decision. Now, somebody's going to make that decision. Now, somebody made a decision in June the 7th, 1990, that I was going to die of cancer because I didn't have a chance to live. And if we'd have had these death panels that Obamacare has set up, then all we'd had to do done was they just shut me down and said, you know, forget it. Put a rose in my hand and I've been gone. But it's been 26 years and I'm still alive.
Yes, and that reminds us that there is someone else who is a greater power, and that is Almighty God.
Amen.
He kept you alive. Just like we have talked about Dr. Noah Hutchings at the Southwest Radio Church Ministry, that's a ministry that we don't agree with them at all on the pre-tribulation rapture idea, but they've done a lot of good with their ministry through the years. And Dr. Hutchings was told by a doctor that his heart was so bad, he says, you've had a long life, just go home, meaning go home to heaven. But a young doctor came and gave him a new lease on life, operated on him. So, you see, God is there, and he can do miraculous things. And, Carl, you are a living witness to that. So I hope that we can get into more of the things that are coming, like next week, some of the plans for the chipping all of us and, you know, lots of things there.
We'll Google, talk about that. That'd be great.
A lot of surveillance. But these GMO insects, this is pretty bad. And as you said, we're being experimented on. And these Nazi connections have never really died. We were talking about the Einsatzgruppen, those units that Hitler sent into Russia, killed millions of Russian people. It wasn't just the Jews who were killed, though they were killed. But that racial eugenics philosophy that believed the Slavic peoples were subhuman too. So, you know, they had this ideal, this Aryan ideal, and they were going to kill off everybody. And there's some of that yet here, I'm sure, in America. At the top levels, the black people are hated the way Margaret Sanger wanted them to be hated. And the abortions, we know that there are many, many more abortions in the black neighborhoods. Houston, Texas has the largest facility, I believe, there to kill the babies. So much is not good, but we can't be overwhelmed by it either, because we know that if we cry out, and you and I are trying to cry out, God will have some people hear this who need to hear it. And the answer is to turn your life over to Jesus Christ and
Amen.
Accept him as your Savior.
Amen.
And ask him to forgive your sins, because he absolutely is real. I mean, there is no chance that you could be alive through human activities, is there, from 1990 till now?
You know, God had put a call on my life in 1980, and I ran till, or 1985, and I ran till 1990. And I'm going to tell you, he's there before you get there. And in that hospital room, after they had told me that I was terminal and wouldn't live through the surgery, more than likely, and there was a peace came over me, and I have never lost that peace in him. I've had a lot of things happen in my life and a lot of things go on, and when I lost my wife, it was the hardest thing that ever happened to me. I was telling some people today, it was tough, but it is never the peace that God gave me. One of these days, I'm going to cross that Jordan River, and I'm going to take her hand, and we're going to go on. So, sounds like the music is coming.
Yes, and you have some work yet here to do on the divided kingdom.
God bless you.
And we just applaud others who are working in radio to bring the Christian witness. And we thank the Lord for giving us this opportunity. God bless you all. Thank you, Carl.
God bless you, and good night, and thank you so much. Bye.